Following the disappointment of October 22nd, 1844, I remained in poor health with an illness very much like tuberculosis. Communication being slower in those days, we hadn't yet heard about Hiram Edson's light on the sanctuary. We were still in great distress because Jesus hadn't come as we expected. In December, I accepted an invitation from my friend Mrs. Elizabeth Haynes to spend a few days in her home in South Portland.
Ellen, I'm so glad you decided to accept my invitation. I just hope it hasn't been too hard on your health.
Oh, these last few days have been a refreshing time for me, Lizzie. I haven't been sleeping well since our disappointment.
I can understand that, my friend. All of us who believe strongly in the second coming are heartsick. I've invited some of our friends to join us at worship this morning.
Perhaps together we can make some sense of it.
Come. They're waiting for us in the upstairs sitting room.
I'm so confused, Lizzie. I firmly believe the preaching of a definite time was of God. I just don't understand why.
Oh, dear, Ellen, I feel these stairs are too much for you. Here we are. Hester, Amelia, Margaret, help me with Ellen, please.
Ellen, lean on me.
Here, sit in this chair.
Soon, the five of us knelt together to ask God's blessing.
Oh, great and living God, we, your servants, are greatly perplexed by the failure of your son Jesus to appear as we expected. We are...
Lizzie, look! Something's the matter with Ellen!
I seem to be surrounded with light and to be rising higher and higher from the earth. I turned to look for the Advent people in the world, but could not find them.
Where are they? Where are the true believers?
Look again, and look a little higher.
There's a path. A long, shining path. And people are walking on it toward a beautiful distant city. But what's that brightness behind us, lighting our way?
The light is the midnight cry. It's there to illuminate the path so that people won't stumble.
But the path is so narrow.
If the people keep their eyes on Jesus, who is leading them to the city, they will not fall off. Do you see him, Ellen?
Jesus is raising his arm. Light is waving over us. Oh, it's all right. Jesus is still leading.
That's not Jesus who leads us out so far. The light is not from God.
The light's gone. I can't see the path. I'm falling. I'm falling.
Oh. And those who would not see the light fell from the path into the dark and wicked world below. Then we heard a great voice, like the surge of mighty waters, and we knew it was the voice of God himself. God told us the day and the hour of Jesus' coming, but he took this from my mind, and I could not remember it afterward. Then God poured on us the Holy Ghost, and our faces began to shine with his glory. On each forehead was written, God, New Jerusalem, and a glorious star containing Jesus' new name. The wicked, enraged by our holy state, rushed at us violently, their faces horribly contorted.
They're coming to pull us down. Save us, Lord. Save us.
Hold us upon us. Help us, or we're lost.
Stretch forth your hand and say the name of the Lord. Be firm. Have faith.
Look to the east. There's a small black cloud, about half the size of a man's hand, coming very fast, nearer and nearer.
Now it's a great white cloud with a glorious light shining from within.
The cloud has fire on the bottom and a shining rainbow over it, and angels, thousands of angels.
On that radiant cloud sat the Son of Man, and on his head were many crowns. In his right hand was a sharp sickle, and in his left a silver trumpet. His eyes flamed with fire as they searched us through and through.
Who will be able to stand?
Is my robe spotless, Lord?
Those of you who have clean hands and a pure heart shall be able to stand. My grace is sufficient for you.
At this, our faces lighted again, and our hearts were filled with unimaginable joy. Then Jesus' silver trumpet sounded as he descended on the shining cloud wrapped in flame. He gazed at the graves of the sleeping saints.
Awake! Awake, all ye who sleep in the dust, and arise!
The graves opened, and the dead came forth, dressed in immortality. The 144,000 shouted for joy as they recognized long-dead loved ones. In that moment, we were changed and caught up with them to meet our Lord in the air. We all entered the cloud together and ascended for 7 days to heaven. There, our own Jesus placed crowns on our heads and gave us harps of gold. Then we marched over the sea of glass up to the glittering gate and entered the holy city.
Ellen seems to be coming out of it.
Her eyelids are fluttering. I think she'll be all right now.
Ellen? Ellen?
Dark. So dark.
You'll be all right now. You must have fainted.
No. I didn't faint, Lizzie. I was away on a trip. A glorious trip.
A trip? Why, you were right here on the couch all the time.
I did go on a trip, Esther. To a better place. I believe God gave me a vision. I felt myself rising high above the world. As we sat under the tree of life, brothers Fitch and Stockman came up to us and asked us what we had been through since they had been sleeping.
Did you tell them about our disappointment?
Oh, Amelia, we tried to call up our greatest trials, but They looked so small compared with the eternal weight of glory that surrounded us that we could not speak of them.
So what did you do?
We cried out, "Alleluia! Heaven is cheap enough." And we all touched our glorious harps and made heaven's arches ring.
What a wonderful experience.
What I find difficult to understand is why God would give such a revelation to me.
But you did have a vision.
Oh, yes. And it was a lovely place. So lovely that everything seems dark and gloomy to me here. I feel homesick for that beautiful place.
Oh, Ellen, you must tell this experience right away.
I cannot. You know how timid I am. It's painful for me to talk before strangers.
But you must. The people need to know what you've seen.
They wouldn't believe me anyway. You know they think the 2300 days have not ended yet. But the vision clearly showed me that the time has passed.
It also shows that God has led us and leads us still.
Oh, but they wouldn't receive it from one so young. I know they wouldn't.
I think they will. Your parents are having a meeting at their home soon. That would be a good time to tell your vision.
But you know the Millerites don't believe in visions. They've seen too much fanaticism. How dare I claim to have had a vision? I shrink from the thought.
Back home, I got into a sleigh before the meeting began and rode to a friend's home 3 or 4 miles away. Joseph Turner, a Millerite leader and editor, was there. I did not know then that his views agreed with the message of my vision.
How are you, Sister Ellen? Are you ready to do your duty?
I don't wish to talk, Brother Turner. Amelia, please conduct me upstairs. I must be alone for a while. Come in.
Sister Ellen?
Oh, please, leave me alone, Brother Turner.
Will you be at the meeting tonight?
No.
I want to hear your vision, Sister Ellen. I think it's your duty to go home.
No, I shall not go.